1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
Well, the Lakers are the champions of the NBA, and there was some disturbance at the Staples Center in downtown Los Angeles last night. Apparently, police were forced to fire rubber bullets at a group of individuals who had gotten out of control. Everybody says today it wasn't as bad as it was last year, but I'm sure you'd agree with me, just a few people getting out of hand. There were apparently some fires lit, and some of the news vans were rocked. That's enough. Now, you were there, sir?
I was down there, yes, sir.
And had you been to the game?
Yes, I had. I had come out of the game. I was down with two co-workers of mine.
All right, what can you tell me what happened to you? Because I understand you were hit with one of the bullets.
I went down to, yes, I was.
Where were you hit?
I was hit in the forehead with them.
Where were you?
I was near one of the news vans.
Okay, were you? So you went into the. Now, apparently, the police were not letting anybody near the Staples Center who didn't have a ticket.
Well, that's true. But we did have tickets, myself and two co-workers of mine, Mr. Cliff Pettigrew and Roy Hutchins, who work with me at B&B Construction in Corona.
So you went to the Staples Center to watch the game?
We went last night to see it on the Jumbotron that they had because the Lakers were playing in New Jersey.
Tell me how all of this came about.
Well, it was a great night. I had personally never been to the Staples Center. I was out with my friends. My wife and kids were at home. We watched the game. Obviously, we were all very, very excited about the Lakers winning. And at that time, I'll tell you that I did have some of the beers that they sell at the Staples Center. And the game ended, and I was so very happy, I ran out onto what I think is Grand Avenue. I remember jumping up and down. I had my hands over my head, and I was running in a 360-degree manner and just jumping all over because I was happy, and I was kind of caught up in the excitement of the crowd. And at the time, I told my children, I'll try to get on television because I had a pair of these yellow Laker boxer shorts that they sell at the concession stand at some of the Laker games that my wife had purchased for me. So I did pull my pants down so they could see it on Channel 4 news camera. Well, at that time, people was rocking the news van on the Channel 4 news van, and that's when the police started to fire rubber bullets, and one of them struck me.
So you had pulled your pants down to show the cameras?
Yes, I did.
Were you engaged in rocking the news van at all?
Because of, technically, no, I was not, but I had, because of the alcohol I had drunk, I did help with the rocking of the news van. But as you'll see from the legal action we're considering, I was not in control. And
so you ran out of the Staples Center, you're jumping up and down with your pants pulled down, and then you ran over to the Channel 4 news van?
I was very happy, and after I pulled my pants down, I couldn't run because they were obviously at my ankles. So, and even the police will tell you, because it's in the report, that I shuffled over to the van as opposed to running, so I wasn't in any hurry.
You didn't pull your pants up and then run over. You kept them down?
Because I was having a good time. But
I guess it doesn't make much difference whether you ran over to the van or you shuffled over because you had the pants down around your ankles, but you went over there.
Yes, I shuffled over, but that was our right to assemble and express our free speech.
But you got drunk.
Well, but the question is, at what point is Budweiser responsible? And more importantly, Mr. Hendry, I did nothing to warrant being shot in the forehead with a foam bullet.
Well, you were rocking the news van, and I understand, because I was watching TV, there was somebody standing on top of that news van.
Well, I was trying to let them know that I had Laker underwear on, and I didn't want them to, I wanted my children to see, but they didn't care. They just didn't care.
And they didn't care about what? That you were wearing the Laker underwear?
They did not care. And I had promised my kids that if the Lakers won, I'd say, you'll see Daddy on television, and I would like to know at this time if anybody did see a man bending over with yellow boxers on, that was me, because I had promised my children.
And so you're proposing, in your lawsuit, the proposed lawsuit runs 50 pages here, okay?
Well, there was a level of humiliation.
You're threatening to sue Budweiser, the Lakers, the Staples Center, the LAPD, and Channel 4, is that correct?
Budweiser, Mr. Henry, sold me the beer that precipitated me running out there and pulling my pants down. Had they not done that, and this is very key and very important, had they not done that, I would never have humiliated myself by pulling my pants down.
But you intended on pulling your pants down because you said to the kids you're going to show the boxers on TV.
That's true, but I, I knew that I had to have...
All right, and you're also saying you're going to sue the Lakers. Why?
The Lakers, I'm happy for them that they won the NBA, but I think none of us would have been down there had they not won. And I wouldn't have been there to express my joy. So I think they are culpable. The Los Angeles police fired the rubber bullets at me, even though I wasn't going to hurt anybody. And the Channel 4 people wouldn't put me on TV, so therefore I needed to rock the van in the Staples Center because I would never have been there had they not had it on a Jumbotron. You have to understand something.
All right, so the Budweiser, the LAPD, the Lakers, this is all a threatened lawsuit.
And you can speak to my attorney, Dolores Bisengame, in Riverside, California, for the particulars on this.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 on the Phil Henry Show. There were a lot of folks at the Staples Center in Los Angeles last night to watch the game on the Jumbotron, and not like last year, but not unlike last year, a few got out of control, and there was a resultant firing of rubber bullets into the crowd. And you're a father, right?
Yes, sir, I am. I'm a father of two.
And you don't live in downtown L.A., do you?
No, I do not, sir.
Where do you live?
I live in Corona.
That's out in, like, eastern L.A. County?
Yes, sir, it is.
And you have a wife and you have a business?
Yes, sir, I do. So I would never do anything to jeopardize anything in my life. And I did not do anything to jeopardize anything in my life. I showed joy. I probably pulling my pants down would have been stupid if I'm not wearing no Laker boxers, but I was wearing the Laker boxers. I think I had a right to.
And then rocking the news van back and forth, you can understand where they thought that maybe somebody was thinking that you were going to injure anybody in that van.
Well, that was not the case, Mr. Henry. I simply wanted to get their attention to say, my pants are down, please put it on TV. To see the...
To see the Laker boxer shorts.
That is correct.
Mr. Bozell, if I may, you've been involved over the last 2.5 years... in a variety of different legal actions, haven't you?
Mr. Henry, I'm a man fighting for his rights.
And isn't it true that you sued the San Bernardino Public Recreation Parks Department because their pool had a chemical in it that when one urinated in the pool, you'd see a cloud, and you urinated in the pool, and the cloud appeared, and you sued them for humiliating you? Isn't it true that you also sued the same pool after one of their lifeguards laughed at you because you did a cannonball into it and a dive stick was wedged up your rear end?
That's because of my humiliation in front of my children, Mr. Indian. I'm not here to talk about
that. But isn't it also true that you sued the Olive Garden restaurant because a busboy and your own daughter because you got a piece of toilet paper stuck to a spur on your cowboy boots and everybody in the restaurant laughed? Isn't that true?
I'm here to talk about my legitimate right to... bring this county and city of Los Angeles and
so now you're suing the Staples Center and the Lakers because you pulled your pants down after having a few beers, you rocked a news van, and they fired a rubber bullet at you.
That's correct, and they left a mark on my forehead. I got people calling me Dothead, Hindu boy, and I have a right to stand up for what my right is.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. California is considered to be one of the most litigious states in the union, and perhaps you recognize why. I understand the man has a right, but I think somewhere along the line, where do you draw the line is what I'm asking. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, you can't compare this to the Chicago 8 trial.
Yes, I most certainly can, because back in 1968, when the kids went to Chicago and protested against the American actions in Vietnam, the police went on a police riot, and I always was a Republican, and I always believed that that was the right thing for the police to do until I come up against the LAPD last night. They fired a rubber bullet at me, and all I did was pull my pants down, and it wasn't because I was being lascivious, which I know you're trying to intimate, Mr. Henry.
I'm not intimating anything. You said you had on Laker boxer shorts that you wanted to see on television, but you were rocking a news van. Somebody could get hurt.
I wanted to get their attention.
Well, the police believe that someone was rocking a news van because they're going to knock somebody off of the top of that thing. Here's Wendy on the Phil Henry Show. Wendy, go ahead.
Hi, Mrs. Ozell, I'm a mother. I live in Boca Raton, Florida, thousands of miles away. I knew security in L.A. was going to be major, and I would be more humiliated by your lawsuit that you're filing against the Lakers for winning, against Budweiser for making you drink beer.
They have all of their advertisings and everything trying to get you to get
you're
drunk.
You're responsible for the own beer you drink. Budweiser isn't responsible for the beer that you drink.
Every time you turn around at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, and I'm sure that at the hockey arena where you go to in Boca, they have signs that say, drink Bud, drink up the Bud.
Absolutely. Okay. And I do drink a beer, but I don't pull my pants down, even if I happen to have on boxer shorts of the team that I like.
Just because you don't do it doesn't mean that it's right or wrong.
No, it isn't. But I understand your humiliation, but you should walk away with your tail between your legs instead of humiliating yourself even more by suing companies that are not responsible for you in any way. You are completely responsible for your own actions.
The Lakers won, and I'm the first one to be a big Laker fan ever since I moved out here.
That's great.
But had they not won and put
it
on
the
jumbo...
So they were supposed to lose so you don't pull your pants down and get hit by a rubber bullet? You're not making any sense, and actually you're humiliating yourself more by the lawsuit that you're filing against the Lakers, against Budweiser, against whoever else.
The LAPD and the Staples Center, too, Wendy. Mr. Bozell, did you hear what the woman said? What, are the Lakers supposed to go out and lose?
They have to understand that when they win, we're going to be happy. Now, they know what happened last year, okay?
And what happened last year was bad. Nothing like that happened this year. There were a couple of hundred people.
But still.
So what? So they go and lose?
Would you rather have me take a rubber bullet and possibly kill me? I'm the father of three, or the Lakers lose? Which would you rather have?
A rubber bullet is not going to kill you. That's why they use rubber.
Okay.
It stings you.
Yes, ma'am,
and it
does.
It's supposed to get you away from the circumstance that you were in.
That's right.
You shouldn't have been near the van.
That's
right. So they couldn't accuse you of rocking it.
Okay, what do you call this? I come into work this morning, and I have a red welt on my forehead. Now I'm Hindu boy, I'm Dothead, and every other thing that they want to call me.
And you're humiliated.
Yes,
right?
Ma'am, I am.
I understand. But you're humiliating yourself more by your lawsuit.
Now here's you coming on, you laughing at me too.
That's exactly right, but I wouldn't be laughing at you unless... The only reason I'm laughing at you is because of your lawsuit. For you to be suing people for your own actions, everybody does stupid stuff. You walk away with your tail between your legs, and that's the end of it.
You don't sue
people for your own poor decisions and actions.
Ma'am, can I ask you a question? How do you know so much about rubber bullets? Was you pulling your pants down someplace?
I've never been hit by a rubber bullet.
You seem to know a lot about it.
No,
everybody
I'm
knows
saying
a rubber bullet is a crowd control device. It's not lethal. It isn't supposed to be lethal.
Well, tell the Irish on the Northern Ireland about that, because the British used it on the Northern Irish too, and they got hurt.
Oh, now look at pal. You're comparing yourself to the Northern Ireland situation and the Chicago 8.
And now you allow a woman to come on here and laugh at me?
I didn't know she's going to call up and laugh. You're the guy that's suing Budweiser because you say they made you drink.
And that's why it's
humiliating you, sir. You should drop your lawsuit before you're humiliated even more.
Ma'am.
Everybody makes dumb decisions. Everybody drinks too much beer. Everybody probably could have been caught in a situation like you were caught in. But for you to get an attorney and sue four different people for your actions, it's absurd.
All right. Well, my attorney, Dolores Blazingame of Riverside, California, says that I've got a very solid case about the Jumbotron, because if they had not had it up on the Jumbotron, I would not have got excited about it.
You went down there to look at it on the Jumbotron, and then you got excited, then you ran out.
But if it wasn't there...
Oh, I see. So let's go to the Staples Center where there's nobody there, and we'll sit in the seats.
It would have been better.
What? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449...
You don't understand, Mr. Henry. The history of rubber bullet use in crowd control has been lethal. In Northern Ireland, in Chicago, wherever other people have been, a lot of where the blacks have been, you use a rubber bullet and it hits you in the wrong place, could have been devastating to me. And I think you know what I'm talking about.
You mean your genitals?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I knew we'd have to get to that.
Well, that happens to be a very... That's a very... Forget it.
1-800-449-8686. Amber, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I just want to tell this guy he needs to sue himself. He's the one that caused all these problems for himself.
That's ridiculous.
You need to have some integrity, buddy. And get, you know, everybody gets called names. Everybody, you know, so you had toilet paper on your shoe the other time, and you sue. This time
you got his toilet paper stuck to a spur?
Yes, I wear spurs with my cowboy boots.
Okay. And you dragged it around the Olive Garden, and people laughed.
Humiliating me in front of my family, my children.
But he has issues. You need to see a therapist. You need some real psychological evaluation. There is something wrong with you.
Every time a man tries to use the legal system in America, they say he's nuts.
You're using it. You're abusing it.
How you figure?
The legal system is meant for people that have real problems, not something they caused themselves. You brought this on yourself.
No, ma'am, hold on. How did I bring it on myself when, out of joy and love for the Los Angeles Laker basketball organization, I ran out into Grand Avenue, I pulled my pants down, and I skipped around, and I felt good?
What should have happened is you should have been arrested, and they should have pepper sprayed you.
Oh.
You're lucky you just got a rubber foam bullet to the forehead.
So, in other words, they got to pepper spray me on account I'm wearing Laker underwear?
They should have, because you were being obviously very rowdy, causing problems, and who knows what those people in that van thought you were going to do to them.
Let me tell you what. If all you'd been doing is dancing around in the street, I would have just said, hey, move along. But you were rocking that news van with somebody standing on top of it.
Because I wanted to get...
Because you wanted to get their attention. I guaranteed if you would have stood in the street and pulled your pants down and just pointed to your rear end, somebody with that camera would have pointed it at you.
Well, that's hindsight's 20/20.
Well, I just want to say one last thing.
And all you people are doing Monday morning quarterbacking.
It's not too late to get a backbone and change and become a good role model for your kids. That's the last thing I wanted to say.
Yeah, well,
it's not too late for you to change.
Thanks
man.
A lot, lady. Thanks a lot for backing up a citizen who's trying to protect his rights to legal assembly.
Hey, you're abusing your rights. You're not using what these privileges are intended for. You're not using them for that.
Legal assembly. Thank you, Amber, for your call.
Mr. Henry, in 1963, Martin Luther King led the match. By the way, the March on Washington had 200,000 people. Did you see anybody get a rubber bullet at that? And yet
the March on Washington, Martin Luther King, you getting drunk and pulling your pants down? Two different things, man. Roy, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
That definitely is two different things.
Yes.
And you created your own problem.
How do you figure that? See, everybody's going against me. Are you all cop lovers all of a sudden?
Yeah, maybe we're cop lovers.
Well, I'll tell you what. You went there with the intention of pulling your pants down. You drank, and nobody forced you to drink. Just because there's a sign don't mean you have to follow it.
Well, just because there's a sign don't mean I have to follow it. And yet every time you turn around, it says Budweiser, 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 and you feel like you don't even support the Lakers if you don't drink a beer. So
that's in your own mind.
No, that's not my own mind. How do you figure that?
Because you're saying, because there's a sign there, I have to drink.
Where are you from?
I'm from Wisconsin.
Okay, they don't have no basketball there. They don't have no basketball there.
They got plenty of beer in Wisconsin.
You better believe it.
Well,
we drink because we want to drink.
And do you drink?
We drink because you want to drink.
Do you drink in Wisconsin?
Well, of course.
Yeah, of course you do. And you know why? Because every time you turn around, you see a Schlitz sign or Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin on it.
That isn't why I drink. I drink because I want to drink. And
let me ask you a question. You're from Wisconsin, and
yes.
You never showed your goodie bag when the Packers won.
No, I didn't.
Crap.
Well, why? What are you telling me, man?
This guy never... The Packers won the World Championship a few seasons back, and this guy wasn't dancing around for it?
Dancing around was... I'm sure you were happy for him, right, Roy?
Right. I was happy for him, and I was excited, but I didn't pull my pants down.
You didn't pull your pants down?
No, sir.
Hey, and I've seen the Lakers and Dodgers win a few, and I never pulled my pants down.
Well, there's something wrong with you two.
I think you created your own problems.
Well, no, sir. And remember the Chicago 7.
Oh. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Stephen Bozella Corona, one of many people who got into trouble with the LAPD last night down at the Staples Center, apparently got hit with a rubber bullet. He is suing he's threatening to sue LAPD, the Staples Center, the Lakers, and Budweiser Beer because of his problems, including the rubber bullet that hit him square in the forehead. He walked into his work today and has been called Dothead and Hindu Boy by his co-workers. How do you figure you forced to pull your pants down, sir?
I was forced by the joy that I felt. And the only reason why that joy was there is on account of they allowed it to be shown at the Jumbotron.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Mr. Bozell, in the year 2000, you sued Mr. Roy Hutchins for laughing at you because you were loading 20 cases of KY jelly into the back of your truck to take back to Costco after the Y2K scare. You bought KY jelly because you thought that if the Y2K problems materialized as advertised, biker gangs would roam the country raping everyone. Isn't that correct?
I had a right to protect myself and to protect my family, sir. I'm not going to make any comment on any other lawsuits that you want to talk about. What I'm talking about here, the civil rights movement, the Native American movement, all of these people had the right to defend themselves. And I'll tell you something else about the Budweiser aspect of my lawsuit. They don't sell liquor on Indian reservations because they know it's bad for Indian. But they sold me Budweiser, and I did have a reaction that caused humiliation to me and caused humiliation to my family. And I think they should be held accountable for that. Just like the federal government would be held accountable if they sold liquor on an Indian reservation and the Indians started to, you know, go violent or whatever they do. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here, man. I'm just listening to you. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Kevin on the road out there. Kevin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello?
Yes, Kevin, go right ahead.
Yeah, this guy's an idiot. He's playing with Budweiser for him getting drunk and putting his pants down.
Wait, hold on. Are you from America?
Oh, don't even go there, dude. I'm from England.
Hey, dude, yeah, okay, right there. So what do you know about all the stuff that's going on over here?
I live in the United States for 20 years.
You know about basketball and everything?
Of course I do.
Okay.
My kids are American, dude.
Well, good for you. But we don't...
I live in Arizona. We have Diamondbacks.
We don't play no soccer over here, okay?
You know
Forget
what?
About
and
it, man.
I was very excited when England and the United States won their games in the soccer.
Okay, all the English people, every time you win a soccer game over there, everybody has a drink. It goes haywire, okay? Does that mean the cops get to beat you up?
You know what? You're an idiot. We just had 1 million people celebrate the Queen's Jubilee. Did you see anybody putting their pants down and with Union Jacks on their ass? No. You're an idiot. And you're suing Budweiser and the Lakers because you're an idiot?
You called me an idiot about six times, but you've yet to define what it...
Well, the guy just said, the Queen's
Jubilee. Do you want me to define an idiot for you?
How do you figure I'm being one?
You're an idiot. I mean, why are you suing these other people for you getting drunk?
Because, as I said to Mr. Henry right after we come back, number one, Indian reservations don't sell liquor.
Oh, don't even go there. I live in Arizona, dude. We have more Indian reservations here than anything.
Okay, all right. Do they sell liquor on the Indian reservations when you go to them casinos? No, they don't.
You know what? I don't go to the casinos. Yes, they do, actually.
No. I think you're wrong, because if they do, the Indians go, they have...
I don't think so. I just went to Desert Diamond Casino in Tucson, Arizona, the other week. It's a Tom Holman and Eight Nation sign.
What?
And I had a Budweiser.
How long you lived here? You got an accent, man. I can't even understand what you're saying.
I understand everything he's saying. He says he lives out in Arizona, and if there's Indian reservations, apparently there's liquor sales in those Indian reservations in Arizona, Kevin. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. This is why the American society is the way it is. You guys sue anybody and everybody over minute stuff.
Oh, you're coming over here and criticizing our system? When they over
yes.
England, they don't even get to sue nobody. That's why...
You know what? And exactly that's how it should be. Because you were wasting my taxpayers' money. Because now we're going to have...
You don't have to pay taxes. You come from England.
No.
What are you talking about? Of course he pays taxes.
How do you figure?
I'm a United States citizen. I pay taxes. I live in the United States.
You didn't say that. Well, how come you...
Does it matter? If I wasn't a United States citizen and I was here illegally, legally, I'd still have to pay taxes. Are you an educated person, like a hillbilly in California?
Oh, hold on for a minute. You said you're a United States citizen. Is that correct?
No, I served the United States Air Force for 10 years.
All right.
Okay?
Then how come you still got an accent?
What?
Is this guy stupid? I was born and raised in England. My father's in the United States. My mom's English.
But you become an American citizen, don't you have to be American? I mean, what am I?
You're an American. You become an American. What, is he supposed to lose his accent, too?
I mean, I was raised with the best education in the world.
Did you have someone marry you to get you to come over here?
Is this... Oh, God, I'm getting so frustrated. This guy...
What I'm saying is... because you get to live on tax subsidy because you come from England doesn't mean that I can't sue anybody.
He does.
God.
Who? But, no. Don't say it.
Don't say what? You're an idiot? You're an idiot. I'm sorry, my wife's American, my kids are American, I'm American, I pay taxes.
Hey, all you British.
This is why the American society is the way it is, because you just...
You British. How about that?
British lawsuits like this.
Well, that Paul McCartney married a one-legged lady doesn't mean you're all nuts, does it?
Oh, you know what?
Oh, Jesus.
If I could reach that phone right now, I'd kick your ass.
Kick my ass? Yeah. I bet you kick my ass. You look pretty funny with my boot up your ass going down the road.
What? And in other words, you're suing. Is that what you're doing? You're using the United States legal system to sue, and you're going getting into a ass-kicking contest with this guy?
Well, all I can tell you is this much. I've been called Dothead. I've been called Hindu Boy because I got a big red welt from LAPD foam bullet.
And if you hadn't been screwing around downtown, jumping up and down with your pants hanging around your ankles, I didn't run to the van. I shuffled.
Well, they said that I ran.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. He's a disgrace to the United States.
Well, at least I don't have no English accent.
No, you got a Tennessee accent.
Do you know what? The American ladies like the English accent, dude.
Oh.
Okay, so don't even go there.
So now
okay?
You're talking about maybe getting one of our women in bed?
He already did.
You know
married
what?
To an American woman.
I'm married to a very beautiful American
right.
woman.
Kevin,
don't even go there.
Kevin,
okay?
Thanks.
I have
a bachelor's degree in marketing. I'm very educated. You apparently aren't.
Does your wife
okay?
have both her legs?
Yeah, that's real funny, man.
Alright, I'm going to go because this guy's a waste of time.
You couldn't win an ass-kicking contest against Paul McCartney's wife.
Alright, Kevin, thank you very much for your call, man. Thank you. Couldn't win an ass-kicking contest against Paul McCartney's wife, huh?
He pretends he's one of the Beatles so he can get laid. I know how they work.
What's he do? He walks up to somebody and says, "Hi, I'm Ringo Starr. Do you want to sleep with me?"
Yeah, good. Maybe. I don't know.
Bill, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, sir, Bill.
Yes, I'm calling because I kind of got to agree with that last caller. I mean...
You agree with me?
No. The last guy there from England.
You agree with the guy from England?
Hey, you ever watch the Judge Judy show?
Who?
Judge Judy.
Oh, yeah, that's a good show. See,
yeah,
everybody can go on that show and say everything they feel to say. They don't get called a dickhead like people call me.
Well, I'll tell you right now, she call you nothing but a sewer. You smell like a sewer. You're a dirty sewer. Apparently, you need to get a real life and work and earn a dollar to pay for what you get.
Hey, I own my own construction business, B&B Construction.
How'd you get it? Who'd you sue to get it? You had to get the money started somewheres.
I sued a guy down in Florida.
Yeah, catch my drift.
Okay, so?
Well,
you sued a man to get his business?
Yeah.
It seems to me like he's a real man,
sir.
Left
him on his ass.
Seems like he's a real man right there.
When I get done, everybody's going to know Steve Bozell got the shaft the other night when the LAPD tried to shoot him in the head.
Mr. Bozell, isn't it true that a few years ago...
I don't want to hear about any other lawsuit.
No, isn't it true that you sued a lumber company and a company that makes Paul's Plumber's Putty after you tried to pleasure yourself with a knot hole in a board in an outhouse? Isn't that true, sir? Isn't it also true that you then, you told the judge that you were pleasuring yourself in the outhouse because you saw an attractive Asian woman with large breasts, which you consider that a rarity. Is that right?
I'm not commenting.
And isn't it also true, sir, that you wound up with splinters after twirling the board? Circuit Court 4 recorded that the judge, while finding in your favor for not putty, for the putty not being a lubricant, also remanded you for psychiatric counseling. Isn't that right?
Oh, so in other words, just because I seen a girl with big boobs, I'm nuts?
No. You tried...
Did psychiatric counseling help you?
Yes, it did.
Apparently not.
Well?
But what you pulled the other night, that apparently they didn't help you.
How do you figure that?
Well, because you brought it all on yourself.
You pulled your pants down and you drank beer and you want to sue Budweiser.
That ain't right.
Well, maybe you got a point.
Yeah,
that's why nationwide right now, people are against, you know, there's a war against the
gangs. Did you see anybody with yellow pants on TV?
No, I did not.
No.
Did you, Bill? Oh,
no.
Now my kids are going to think I'm a liar.
All right, Bill, thanks for your call. And Mr. Bozell, good luck and seek therapy. And again, the judge asked you to do that. Oh, by the way, he also sued the Furby company when a Furby doll called him an a-hole after a funeral. I'm telling you, in all of my...
That's true. That really did happen.
Oh, baloney. A Furby doll. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Preceding bit, I was doing the voice there of Steve Bozell, and the reason why I was doing the voice of that character, me, and then, of course, the people that called thought Steve was a real guy, why do you suppose we have the Steve Bozells of the world? People who want to make it somebody else's fault. This is a big argument that I get into with my kids all the time, and yet we have grown adults misusing the legal system. Do I care? I don't. I mean, I think people ought to use the legal system, but I just saw where somebody on TV believes that a dog racially profiled him. So if you think our show is gone, I mean, like, just gone, there are people out there who, by their actions, resemble a lot of the things that we do on our radio program. So I don't know whether we're way ahead of the curve or the world is catching up to us, but this is the Phil Henry Show. Now, coming up next here on our flashback from yesterday's show, Bobby Dooley. Bobby Dooley was talking to some lady about... I forget what. I think her husband believes that the kids eating bananas in a Catholic school means there's some sexual abuse going on there. But Bobby also got into it with some woman because Catholics, when they take communion, have to bend their heads back and stick their tongues out. Something like that. But here it is.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Maria, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Yes, I wanted to say that woman says about First Communion, about taking Holy Communion. Well, in our church, we take Holy Communion standing up.
You have your head back with your tongue out.
Shut up, you bitch!
You have your head back with your tongue out and you know it.
No, we don't. We stand up. We take Holy Communion and we put our hands out. Nobody takes it sitting down or laying down or kneeling down.
And you don't
even have
to. And you put your hands out to do what?
We put our hand out and the priest gives us Communion in our hand and we put it in our mouth.
What do you put in your mouth?
Communion.
Oh, sure.
You know, I think you're a wacko. You ought to go have your head examined.
You know something? I have seen Catholics taking communion, and they got their head back with the tongue out going...
No, we don't do that anymore.
What'd you call it? Communion?
Communion.
Communion?
Holy Communion, yes.
Communion.
We take it standing up.
You may take it standing up, but I take it on all four...
Okay.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
And that, of course, is a little commentary in the Catholic Church, so... We cover it all here on the Phil Henry Show. And we have a couple of extracurricular activities we want to alert you to. Actually, one, and then another press release I'm going to read that's kind of personal. Nationally syndicated talk radio personality Phil Henry stops by TBS Superstation's Dinner and a Movie. We're going to be on Monday night, this coming Monday night, which is June 17th. And that show airs at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific on the TBS Superstation. I'll be there with Paul Gilmartin and Lisa Kuschel. They cook up batter-up bundt cake for the baseball comedy Major League. Basically, what Dinner in a Movie is they show a movie and they make dinner. They're showing a movie, and in the commercial breaks, they cook something. And they always have different guests on, and I'm going to be the guest on Monday. It was really a lot of fun doing the show. They let me do whatever the hell I wanted to do. I took over the program, basically, and that's why I enjoyed doing it. Frankly, they just didn't edit anything. I just sat there and just took control of the whole thing. And I remember the host walking over to the director and saying, he's controlling the whole show. What do we do? He said, just let him. So that'll be on Monday night, and that's at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific on the TBS Superstation. And the movie Major League, by the way, is a commercially broadcast, which means that it's edited liberally. And... so when a guy says MF, it's, why, you lousy jerk, you know. That's on Monday night. Now, Robert McKernan, interim director of the San Bernardino County Museum System, has been appointed by the county to serve as permanent director. That's right, Robert McKernan has been appointed permanent director of the San Bernardino County Museum. Mr. McKernan spent 8 years at the Los Angeles County Natural History Museum, 3 years at UC Riverside, 20 years of museum experience. He holds a bachelor's and master's degree in biology, and he's recognized professionally as one of the top vertebrate biologists in North America. Now, why do I bring this up? Why do I read this on the air? Well, because Robert McKernan in the sixth grade used to take a three-cornered ruler and stick it in my back every time I gave him some crap, and then I'd turn around and do the same thing to him. Because Robert McKernan went to Holy Angels grade school with me out in Arcadia, and we would stop by the Mayfair Market in the morning and rip off Cherry Cokes and Hostess Pies and sit there around back and eat them. And then later went to the beach and went to Led Zeppelin concerts and all kinds of stuff. And now this guy is like a respected scientist, one of the top vertebrate biologists in North America, Robert McKernan. All right. Way to go, Bob. It ain't him. Everybody knew he'd be a success. It's me that they're wondering about. How did that jackass ever get on the radio? How did that guy get on the radio? My mother used to say to me, when are you going to be a TV news anchor? She said, when are you going to do something like Paul Moyer? Yeah, you know, see, that was, what are you going to do, you know? We all have moms and dads, and they're not all the greatest. Some are okay, some are better than others. My mom's okay. She just always thought the radio thing was a little lowbrow. Even though at night she'd be listening to, she'd be listening to the overnight talk show here. And there's something about elderly people, well, the something is that their hearing goes. So I'd be laying in bed, my mom's got the overnight talk show on, you're hearing, that's what it sounds like coming through the floor. Cranked up to patent pending. You know, because the hearing's gone and they don't know that people are trying to sleep. And through the floor, that's all you can hear. You can't really hear anything other than... Same thing with a television. Sounds the same, doesn't it, through the floor? When I was living up in Ventura, I was in a real seedy little apartment, and there's a guy across the way. This guy would come home every morning and turn on a preacher at 5 a.m. 5 a.m., there was some preacher show. Guy come home from his overnight shift, whether he was a security guard, I don't know what, but 5 a.m., the guy would flip on, and I'll pray tonight, and you're going to hell. Everything was going to hell at 5 a.m. I'm listening to this. Everybody's going to hell. And God said it hotter. But through the floor, it was more like, you're going to rot in hell. And that's the part that stuck out. 5 o'clock in the morning, and there's nothing you can do. How do you tell a neighbor, turn it down? Hey, would you mind turning it down? Yeah, I would. Okay, just thought I'd ask. I can't hear it, okay? And then another guy next door to me, he was listening to Rush Limbaugh, and then I'd be listening to that through the wall. The guy would tape it and listen back to like 10 or 11 o'clock at night. So you might have read somewhere in the paper, three residents of a apartment complex were shot and killed somewhere back in 1990. That was me. I did it. And, you know, I'm still in the lamb. I'm hiding out doing a radio show. 1-800, so far so good. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Well, we have, I was going to start the hour here talking about a very interesting article here about the gamut. Running the gamut is the title of the article, but it's about the kinds of people that we're holding at Camp X-Ray at Guantanamo in Cuba. All kinds of people, all kinds of nationalities, these Al-Qaeda fighters coming from places as far afield as Australia, as Great Britain. Man, there's all kinds of people that hate our guts. I always wonder, is it because they don't like America? Is it because they hate America? Is it because they can't be in America? Did we really do that many bad things? You know, if you come from a liberal orientation like I do, and I don't even call myself that. I just come from the 1960s. What can I tell you? And I did just enough research, and I did just enough reading, and I did just enough informing of myself to know that this government, the United States government, wasn't always doing the best that it possibly could for its citizens or people around the world. We just weren't. The biggest mistake that we ever made was getting involved in the first place in the politics of other countries, which we've done and continue to do. We continue to do it today to protect our own safety. We did it back in the day to enable American business interests. But the fact is, we destabilized the Iranian democratically elected government back in the early 1950s. We messed around in Nicaragua. We mucked around in Cuba. We mucked around in Haiti. We stuck our big fat noses into the political processes in Afghanistan occasionally. We got our noses stuck up the Pakistanis' rear end every now and again. And we, of course, were down in Africa. And this wasn't always in the best interest of the people that lived there. Now, I'm not saying this to say that I don't love my country. I love my country. But I do have to answer the question, how come so many people hate our living guts? Or do they? Is it, like I've mentioned on this program before, the anger that a child feels toward a parent that has rejected them? Is it just simply hostility toward the most evolved society in the history of the world that they can't be a part of it somehow? That they can't have a piece of it somehow? That they can't... Look, go to Saudi Arabia. Go to any of those countries. Go to Saudi Arabia, go to Iran, go to Iraq, and talk to the people on the street, and they'll tell you that they hate America. But in the same breath, they want to know when Spider-Man is going to be playing. Go to any of that. This is the thing, and that's why they don't really hate us. They just can't be a part of it. And so rather than get angry at the guys that run their government, which is the logical guy to get angry at, they get angry at us. But their government tells them to be angry at us because America caused the situation that they're in the first place because our oil interests or our national fruit company interests. You know, Hawaii is a state today because of the meddling of the United Fruit Company. That's all there is to it. Dole Pineapple. That's why we got Hawaii. Did you know that? We destabilized the kingdom. It was called the Kingdom of Hawaii. It was a little kingdom. It was a country. It was a republic. And we destabilized actively the Hawaiian government and ousted the king and all of the people there who are elected by the people of Hawaii so that Dole Pineapple wouldn't have to be doing business with a king and they could just be doing business with America and it became an American territory. Nobody asked the people of Hawaii. We just went in and we didn't. We did it. And everybody in this country is, I think we're all justified in saying, well, how much of this stuff are we going to have to rectify? Yeah, we make missteps, but did we really do badly by the Hawaiian people? In other words, would they still rather have their king, or would they like to be part of the United States? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like saying, in other words, do you really want to give it back to the Indians? Do you really want to give it back to the Indians? It's unjust what we did to the Indians. It's totally unjust. It was a genocide. There were laws in the state of California. It was legal to kill an Indian at one time. Legal. Legal to kill an Indian. So all of the crimes that were committed by our government are really not unique in the history of the world because other governments have committed similar crimes. What makes our country unique and our society unique is we lay it out there on the table for everybody to see. We bare our guts like no country in the history of the world has ever bared its guts. The mere fact that I'm on the air talking about it, that the United States government practiced a form of genocide in the 19th century. But having said all of that, do you really want to just give it all back to the Indians? Do the Indians want it back? What if we all said, you know what? We screwed you Indians big time, and we're giving it back to you. What? You can have it. No. Well, I'm leaving because you got to. No, I can't do that. What are you talking about? I can't do it. Well, you're going to take it, not take it. I don't want it anymore. We screwed you guys. We're leaving. You can't leave me with this. What am I going to do? There's freeways, all kinds of crap. Elect one of them Indian councils. I don't know what the hell you do. What do you mean an Indian council? Smoke a peace pipe. Do something. I'm leaving because I feel bad. We screwed you. We're leaving. America sucks. It's a fascistic state. It's a huge Satan. It never should have been started in the first place. The violation of human rights in America is far and away the worst in the history of the world. And all of the other lies that some people want to believe about America, right? Yeah, sure. War crimes. Right. They're trying to push that one now that we committed war crimes in Afghanistan. I haven't even seen the evidence, and I can guarantee it isn't true. I guarantee you right now it isn't true. They say that American soldiers engaged in a mass murder of 300, 400 Afghan civilians. Bull crap. Prove it. prove it. Well, I can prove the Nazi genocide. I can prove that. Can you prove what you're saying? No. So as bad as this country is, as rotten as some people say we are, as big of a Satan as the towel wrappers say we are, you really want to give it back to the Indians? No. And you think the Saudi Arabian people, the Iraqi people, the Iranian people, the Afghani people, do you really think America's all that bad when all they can do, they're doing twists and flips to get the latest copy of freaking Spider-Man, and all they can do is get, they're making satellite dishes out of people's underwear and pie tins, just so they can suck in, you know, Larry King. They brought in Larry King last week, they got about 3 hours of that, and there was a rash of suicides in Kabul, but then they flipped the channel. They're doing flips and twists so they can get Mission Impossible 2. They want Minority Report. It's out on video. In fact, Spider-Man was out on video. It was bootlegged. It was going for like a buck a copy in Kabul, Afghanistan, a week before it came out in the United States. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. They love us. They love us. And they're pissed that they can't be here and be a part of it. Now, the old dried-up mullahs, they convinced a handful of really poor people, yeah, you can't be in America. You know why you can't be in America? Because they're racist and they hate you and they hate everybody of color. That's another one, see? And so the best thing to do is destroy America. That's what you got to do. Look what they've been doing to Muslims. Never mind that we went to war in favor of backing up and helping out the Muslim people of Serbia. Forget about that, of Bosnia, I should say. Forget that. Never mind that we actually came to their aid. Never mind that it is American money that makes life so enriching for a half a dozen towel wrappers down in Saudi Arabia and whoever's got the jack in Iraq and Iran and anywhere else, it's because of American dollars. Forget that. We're a bunch of racists, right, okay? So you really want to do something good, young man. You join Al-Qaeda and you fight against the Americans, all right? Because it's their fault. It's not your fault that you got a heroin addiction or that you're an alcoholic. It's not your fault that you wear your mother's underwear. It's not your fault that you've got some kind of a brain disease where the neurotransmitters aren't firing right and you see, like, pink elephants in the morning. It's not your fault. It's America's fault. If you go and kill an American, then all your schizophrenia will go away. There you go. So that's why you got so many of these Al-Qaeda. Somehow, I had to ask myself, how did they bring this? David Hicks was the guy that made the comment. He's an Australian, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Australian. He's the one that made that now-famous comment, and he's an Al-Qaeda fighter from Australia. Before I leave here, I'm going to kill an American. You want to know about this guy Hicks? He's a bum from Australia. He's a guy, he used to, you know, rake leaves for a living. He's some kind of a nut. He's pissed because he didn't get his bootleg copy of Spider-Man. That's why they hate you. And that's why they want to kill you. And I don't think all the bootleg copies of Spider-Man in the world are going to change it. I'm Phil Hendry, and that's one man's opinion. I just thought I'd cap it with that because I don't know what else to... Okay, 1-800-449... sounded so dramatic, right? I'm Phil Hendry, back in just a moment. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
And now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Lloyd, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes, Mr. Henry, I wanted to address something on your program. I think it's time that you and other men who have your position address and take a stand that this harassment of Catholic priests must end so that we can begin to do the things you're talking about, and that's fight what I believe to be the threat from the Islamic fundamentalists who are motivated by evil, and we need to get the heat off of our priests and let them help us fight the Islams who are infecting the heart of this country. And you see this boy they've arrested, he's from America.
The Al-Qaeda guy.
This guy is Al-Qaeda, and he learned Islam in the prison. Now, I wanted to...
So we take the heat off the Catholic priests so that what?
Let me explain. My wife and I enjoy the film The Exorcist. I'm sure you're familiar with the movie.
Your wife and you?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, but I think it's also a movie that tells us something about the future. Now, let me enlighten you if I could.
We're talking about The Exorcist, the demon movie?
Yes, let me enlighten you. The movie The Exorcist starts with an Islamic prayer. At the very beginning of the movie, you hear a man chanting in Arab, calling people to the Islam prayer. Number one. Number two, the archaeological dig that Father Marin is involved in is in, guess where?
It's in Iraq.
You better believe it. In Iraq, where one of the primary enemies of America today, Saddam Hussein, resides. Finally, number three, the devil is released by Father Marim from Iraq and travels to America, where he infects the very heart of a human being, an American. Now, this film portended the future of our country some 30 years ago, and I believe that it tells us as well that we've abused our priests, because in that movie, The Exorcist, two priests stand in a little girl's bedroom unsupervised, and nobody gave a sweet GD. And they saved her life.
They saved her life by casting out...
By sucking the devil out of her, yes, sir. Nobody gave a good sweet Jesus, because the two priests were in her bedroom, because they saved her life. I believe the time has come for the American people to forgive our Catholic priests and untie their hands to help us fight this devil, the Islam devil, which is moving into our country, into the hearts of our people, as can be illustrated in that young Al-Qaeda man arrested by the FBI and other Justice Authority personnel, as well as the police.
All right, okay, all right, so... I saw The Exorcist, and it's funny what you're saying is, if you remember The Exorcist, Jeff, at the beginning of the movie you say there's a prayer?
Yes. In the opening credits, you hear the Islam guy, he's in Arab, and he's calling everybody to prayer.
Okay. Now, there's also a scene in the opening scene of Exorcist where the priest is staring at the...
He's staring at a demonic icon, which he has unearthed at an archaeological dig. Yes, sir. That demon was found in Iraq, one of the most virulently anti-American, pro-Islam countries in the world. And what are we doing to protect ourselves? The very men who sucked the demon out of the child are being pushed aside when we need them the most.
Do you believe that we need Catholic priests to fight the Islamic, what you call the devil Islamic faith?
I believe, yeah, absolutely, because the Catholic priest is the only cleric trained in the art of exorcism. The Catholic religion has a ritual of exorcism, which every Catholic priest must know. Now, the Presbyterians don't have it. The Baptists don't have it. And as far as my research, and I've researched this quite carefully since my retirement, and my wife is traveling through the Panama Canal now with her sister, so I do have a little bit of time.
Yes, sir.
I have researched that the Mormons, none of them have an exorcism ritual except for the Catholics. I believe that our Catholic priests stand between us and the demon Islam if we'd leave them alone.
Well, Mr. What is your name?
My name's Lloyd Bonafide, Phil.
And where do you live?
I live in Alhambra, California. I had a heating and plumbing business for 40 years in the Alhambra-San Gabriel Valley area.
Okay, sir. The Catholic Church is under assault right now because of serious allegations of child abuse.
Oh, you know, like I said, in the movie The Exorcist, two priests stood in the bedroom of a 12-year-old girl and didn't lay a glove on her. All they did, if you saw the movie, she floated all over the place, and they put some holy water on her and everything. She's the one that abused them with the vulgar language. And I'm saying the priests are the ones that should, I believe we're harassing them.
All right, if we stop accusing priests, okay.
But what's a little, what do you think is worse? Do you think the destruction of America is worse than a little boy getting his fanny squeezed? For what's the big deal? A little boy gets his fanny squeezed against the future of the greatest country that I fought for in Korea. And
all right. So we tell the priests, you're okay. We need you to fight the devil.
We need the priests to fight the devil because the devil comes from the Middle East, as illustrated in the film The Exorcist, done by William Friedkin and written by Peter, Paul, and Mary. I'm sorry, it was...
William Peter Blatty.
That's correct. William Peter Blatty.
And it, Peter, Paul, and Mary...
I misspoke, sir.
All right, okay. They did leave it on a jet plane.
And I'll tell you something else. This is a movie that gave us a blueprint for the future, and people dismissed it as just another Hollywood shock film. So let's get off their back, is what I'm saying.
Well, it's very emotional, Lloyd, for so many people who have felt abused and...
I've listened to them cry and whine. Why can't they just put it behind them? They got their butt cheek squeezed. Big wow when it's compared to the World Trade Center going down.
I understand, but I still say that while the attack on America was brutal, it is just as brutal what happened to those kids. And I don't see where Catholic priests are going to protect us against what you call the Islamic fundamentalist evil that has infected the heart of America. I don't see it.
Well, this kid comes from America, this Al-Qaeda, and they say there's lots more where he comes from on account of in the prisons right now. They're recruiting young African-American men to be members of the Al-Qaeda, which is a Islam fundamental deal. Now, that's what you can look it up, too, because I've spent a great deal of time researching this. My wife and her sister are
going through the Panama Canal, I know.
Well, they're on a cruise, and they're going to the Bahamas.
Well, that's fine, and I know that you've got some time. Let me give our phone number, 1-800-449-8686. This guy's name is Lloyd. And he's calling from Alhambra. He believes the film The Exorcist shows that, William Friedkin's film The Exorcist shows that evil in the person of the devil emanated from Iraq. And that it portends the future. If you saw The Exorcist, there is a devil. And Father Marin does battle with a devil that has infected a child. And he says that it's the Catholic priests were the only ones that stood between us and evil. Get off the priests' backs. Don't persecute them any longer for child abuse. They have bigger things to do, and that's protect us from the evil of what he calls Islam. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
We're talking with Lloyd Bonafide, a retired gentleman from Alhambra, about The Exorcist, the film The Exorcist, and how it predicted events, predicted that the evil and the devil itself came from Iraq, and that we need our Catholic priests to help us, and we should let the priests off the hook for this child molestation and let them get about to the business of protecting us against the devil, which is in the person of Islam in our country. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Rachel. Go ahead, Rachel.
Yes, I think that man is just totally wrong. As far as those children getting their butt cheeks squeezed, I think that is the most inhumane statement that I have heard toward these children.
Well, what do you think is worse? Do you think the World Trade Center might be a little bit worse than a kid getting a squeeze on the butt?
I think that both of them are out there on the same level. Those people in the World Trade Center were of all different nationalities. These children are all different nationalities. These priests, if they want to exorcise demons, they should start within their own community. They should start within their own religion. because if they have demons in their church, how can they exorcise the demons out in Al-Qaeda, out in Iraq, over in Afghanistan? How can they exorcise any demon if they have demons within their own place?
Madam, I think the demon that comes from Al-Qaeda in Iraq is in the person of the Islam. And certainly...
Well, you're saying that these children need to be forgotten about. I watched a special on TV last night, and I saw these children. I have heard about this long enough. It's time that we stop the molestation of our children. Our children are the cornerstone of this nation.
If you do not appreciate
these children in the United States, then maybe you need to go over there to Iraq or Afghanistan. You need to look at your own grandchildren. If your children or your grandchildren were molested, you would be in a different position right now.
I'll tell you right now that if my grandchildren was molested, I would consider it the devil himself, and I would want a Catholic priest to exorcise the demon from the child's areas.
The priest that you would have exorcise the demon from your child would be the demon himself, because he would have been the one molesting your grandchildren, because you would have allowed him into your home, into your life.
Madam, I want to ask you, would you rather wear a burqa?
Because you are dead wrong.
Wait a second now. Would you rather wear a burqa that the Afghanistanis want you to wear, which is the sackcloth that they put over their women, or have your nipples looked at for about 3 seconds? Which would you rather do?
I don't want either one of them.
No, that's not fair. That's dirty pool.
No, you're the one that's dirty pool.
You're
saying that these children in the United States have a right to be molested.
I didn't say that.
You ought to be put in a group in the middle of all of these priests, and you be molested. And then let's see how you come out. Let's see how you like it.
Let's see what kind of devils and demons you got in you. I can certainly tell you,
because from the way that you're talking,
you are a devil. You are on the top floor of the World Trade Center. I'd rather have my butt cheeks squeezed.
You'd rather have your butt squeezed.
Yes, I would. Then be on the top floor of the World Trade Center, you nuts? You must be nuts.
I wouldn't want either one of those.
What if it was a Twilight Zone episode? What if it was a Twilight Zone episode and you had to choose?
You are living in a fantasy world. I don't know where you come from. It sounds like you're coming over to the United States and talking a bunch of demon stuff yourself. Wait a minute, I'm a Korean War veteran.
I fought for this country in Korea. And you want to let the devil come over from Afghanistan.
Somebody has gotten a hold of you, or one of those demons. That's exactly what's gotten a hold
of you. Did you ever see The Exorcist?
Yes, I did. I saw all of them.
You remember when the girl told the astronaut, "You're going
to
die up there"?
I don't have to go back to
all
that.
And then she peed in her pants.
I don't have to look through anything.
Wait a minute. You're saying the bottom line is these children have to stop being molested. That's the bottom line.
The girl's head spins around, and now we have bobble-headed dolls. The girl also spewed green stuff, and what became popular in cuisine in the late 1970s was guacamole dip. That film portended...
You have no idea what you're talking about. I just got done telling you. I just saw the movie this morning. You are a demon in itself. Anybody that says that a child has a right to be molested is a demon.
I never said any such thing.
That's exactly what you said. A butt cheek being squeezed, as opposed to a lot more than just somebody's butt being squeezed.
Yes, exactly. Rachel, thank you very much for your call. Thank you.
Why did you let that hillbilly drag on and on and on?
I thought she was making some wonderful points.
Boy, that's a hot one. Some wonderful points. She doesn't even know how to pronounce Afghanistan.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Sebastian, go ahead.
Lloyd, what's your definition of molestation? Because
my definition
more than touching
of the devil, is on his way to America in the person
of sir, what is your definition of molestation?
When you abuse a child.
How?
If I got to explain it to you, you're dumb.
Now, obviously, sir, you don't understand because it's more than touching someone's behind.
I'm simply saying that
Sir, can I talk? Sir,
it's a lot
worse. You're from Korea, right?
I'm a Korean War veteran.
And what did our country fight in Korea? It was what? Communism?
They fought the communist states.
Why didn't we send the priests to fight the communism then, my friend? You better wake up. I feel because you seem to be someone who likes to do a lot of research. You should research yourself. One of the worst crimes anyone can
absolutely
do against another individual.
Absolutely. And there's no doubt that nobody is saying that we don't want to protect our country from Islamic fundamentalists that want to blow it up.
Well, then why don't you let the priests do what they were able to do in The Exorcist?
It was just a movie, my friend.
What are you laughing
just
at?
Just a movie.
Just a movie?
Just a movie.
Hey, if it was just a movie, how is it that it predicted that Iraq was evil?
You want to talk about other movies?
You don't have any.
Well, we can go on talking about movies for the rest. Hey, remember that movie that the Soviet Union took over the United States? It was called America.
It never happened. It never happened, but the devil's
in Iraq. It never happened.
Yeah, but
it was just a movie.
Is it the devil in Iraq? The devil's in Iraq.
People like you, that there's a reason why people want to stop movies, because people get blinded by movies. It was just a movie.
You can't tell me that the Iraq devil isn't the same as Saddam Hussein, who, for all intents and purposes, has been giving it to America for the last 30 years.
Wait, let me live in your world for a moment. Let's send all these priests to Iraq and all problems will be solved?
Yes.
Okay, well.
That's what you're saying?
I think we just realized who we're talking to. Thank you.
Oh, really? Who's that? You know who you're talking to? Lloyd Bonafide, Korean War veteran, United States Navy. And I've been researching this since the end of May when my wife and her sister started a cruise
through the Panama Canal and they're going to the Bahamas.
And I have to take care of the dog, and I had to take him over to the vet the other day because he's bleeding. I guess his anal glands are...
Yeah, great. Thank you. Jesus. I've been researching this since late May. You know what he did? He rented The Exorcist. He's just been watching it over and over again. He's been going nuts watching that movie. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The voice of Lloyd there was played by me in that bit where he believes the Exorcist movie has clues to the future. Iraq is the devil, and the devil came to America, and we need all the Catholic priests, etc., etc. Yesterday, Bob McGraw was on the program from McGraw Industries selling potassium iodide. This was the way to protect yourself from the radiation from a dirty bomb.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Mr. McGraw is a complete moron. The things he is suggesting are harmful, and he is just trying to cash in on
aluminum
the fear
suit
that the country is feeling.
Is trying
to prey upon ignorant
what about
people
a tin
to
suit?
Try and make a quick buck.
What about a tin suit? You just heard the other doctors say that an aluminum suit would protect you.
Yeah, but then you're talking about pie tins.
Well, it's made out of aluminum.
A lead snorkel?
Every guy we've talked to has said lead protects you from the I forget what you guys call it.
Ionizing radiation.
That's it.
And regardless, if you have contamination from a nuclear weapon going off, you're not only going to be subjected to rays that you're going to try and block with a lead shield, you're also going to be inhaling them and getting long-term radioactive poisoning just from the fallout.
All right,
And I want to make this clear.
I got a theoretical question. If you took potassium iodide and you had a lead suit on, breathing its own air supply?
If you were in a complete scuba suit and you were buried in a lead box underground, yeah, you could
survive. All right,
survive.
That's what I'm talking about.
Why don't you do that, Mr. Groff? Bury yourself underground in a lead suit, okay?
That's all I'm talking about. You'd be doing
the best good for everyone instead of trying to prey upon people's fears to make a quick buck for yourself.
Trying to get
$500, and even if you did donate it, which I highly doubt you do, I doubt you have any tax exempt status or any kind of plan to truly donate that money. Even if you did donate $170, one-third of your $500, you'd still be making a profit of a couple hundred dollars because those potassium iodide pills are dirt cheap. You are a scumball, sir.
Mister, I don't know your last name, but I'll tell you this much. If I saved myself...
Dr. Matuga. Where did you get your medical training?
Sir, that's putting vapor rub into your veins, sir. What does Vicks Vapor Rub do? It cools down the heat. What do you want from me?
What we want from you is some serious information. And you're telling me about my daughter writhing in radiation agony if you'd only bought potassium iodide pills.
Okay, I'm going to get a lead suit with its own air supply, and I'm going to bury myself underground, and you two guys can melt. So dirty bombs don't exist. Nuclear war doesn't exist. Radiation doesn't exist. Okay, great. But I've gotten some good information. I can make an aluminum sports jacket.
Go ahead and make your aluminum sports
jacket. Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
An aluminum sports jacket that weighs 2,000 pounds, and then he'd be fine. There's Bob McGraw, and this is the Phil Henry Show, and that's Comedy Gold. Yes, each and every day, we just call it Comedy Gold, whether it's funny or not. What do you think of that? Don't forget to watch me on dinner. That's right, that's what we do. People looking at me funny. See, if you say it's funny, then it is. Look at Jay Leno. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Nationally syndicated talk radio personality and humorist Phil Henry, is stopping by TBS Superstation's Dinner and a Movie. And that's going to be on Monday, June 17th at 8 o'clock in the evening Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific, exclusively on TBS. And I'll be co-hosting with Paul Gilmartin and Lisa Kuschel, and that movie they're going to be showing is, I'm sorry, Lisa, if I'm not pronouncing your name right. I'm pretty sure it's Lisa Kuschel, or Kuschel, or Brown. It's one of those three. I think it's Lisa Brown. And the movie is Major League, which wasn't a particularly funny movie, but it wasn't all that great. It was okay. It wasn't all that great, but they do a good job with it, and we'll be there Monday on the Superstation at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. So The Exorcist, huh? You think it had clues as to whether or not we would be taken over by the Islamics? You know, if you look at that movie, you do see some interesting things in it. There's the, like he was saying, there's the beginning of the flick has the Islamic prayer, and then he's in Iraq, and there's all kinds of stuff going on in that thing. And I remember when I first saw that film, like every other Catholic that saw it, I was scared. And then I had to go to my overnight jock shift at WBJW in Orlando. So there I was, a Catholic. I'm 21 years old, scared because I just saw The Exorcist, and I'm going to be all by myself in the radio station. And what was the big hit record then? You got it, Tubular Bells from Mike Oldfield, the theme from The Exorcist. And it was in hot rotation, which means we played it every hour. So every hour, that was The Exorcist. I mean, that was the theme from The Exorcist here on WBJW. This is the Phil Henry Show. And, next hour, that was, and I'd turn in my chair and I'd think the kid would come walking in with her head spinning around. I had an active imagination as a young man. That flick really caused a stir, didn't it, man? I remember they had news camera there were people outside being interviewed in line. They interviewed Catholic priests. What do you think about the movie? Oh, I think it's great. You know, it really makes us look good. Everybody dug priests back then. See, that was back when priests were solid with everybody. Everybody was down with a priest. Now you couldn't beg, borrow, or steal one. Those guys go out without their collars on. The priests are going out without their collars on. You know that, don't you? When they leave the church and they just go out like they're going to a supermarket or something, they don't wear the car. They just wear a sports shirt, so they look like a regular schlub. But you can always tell it's a priest because he's got the kind of 1960s tapered haircut with the Madras shirt, and you know he's got the petroleum-based shoes. So there's always something wrong. He's got those clodhoppers that coaches wear. But no, they don't go out anymore. They don't have the turned-around collar anymore because people don't, they're afraid people don't dig them. But back in the day, back in the days of The Exorcist, everybody, it was a real popular thing to be a priest. It's like The Exorcist did for the priests what, you know, Al-Qaeda has done for the military. Everybody's signing up, running in to sign up. And right after The Exorcist, everybody was running in to sign up to be a priest. And they, the first thing they want to know is, where are you going to send me to exorcise a demon? And then only then did you find out that they hadn't busted out their exorcism books for, you know, since they got out of the seminary. What are you talking about, man? Well, in the movie, they said, well, I went to the movie. Don't you do a lot in Africa? What? Yeah, there's a lot of demonic possession in Africa. And how dopey can you get? Oh, really? There's a lot of demonic possession in Africa? Why is that? Because there's not enough Catholics? Yes, we find that the incidence of demonic possession in Africa is at an all-time high because they're running around with spears and bones in their noses. Well, what's that got to do with it? Well, it just doesn't look right, man. I think they're all what are you, nuts? They're painting their faces? That's got nothing to do with it. You're just being ethnocentric and racist. Oh, baloney. How was the last time you exorcised the demon from a guy in, like, Switzerland? Come on. Well, it hasn't been a while. Yeah, because everybody there's a Catholic and they go to church and all that crap. Exorcise a demon from somebody in Switzerland, then I'll believe you. But you go down to Africa, well, what are you telling me? They're eating people, they're putting them in pots, they got painted faces with big spears and bones in their noses with the lip discs, the big long ears. Bull crap. Somebody has gotten into the woodpile there, man, and I think it's the devil. I think you're a racist. Yeah, you would, wouldn't you? Go see that movie, Nat, A Little Girl in Washington. She got it. Okay, now I believe you. See, that's why they wanted to do it. I'm Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. If you didn't understand any part of that monologue, call up Chris Pelton. He'll explain it to you. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Bill Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Going out to dinner tonight with some of my fine friends from the New York offices of the Phil Hendry Show. Peter Trippi is here from Brooklyn, New York. Greg Nowak is here from Scarsdale, and a number of guys are in here. Big Don Giavelli is in from, I think he's from Staten Island, and of course Carlos Gambino is joining our show tonight for dinner, and he's from downtown. So we're all going to be thinking about the Phil Hendry Show. The whole premiere radio enterprise and the five mafia families in New York. We're all getting together. How can we make this show even better, if it's possible? And it is possible. How can we make this show even better than it is? 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. For instance, I'll give you an example. New twist in case of missing Utah girl. This is a sad story, no doubt about it. I say it's sad because I look at it from the standpoint, I'm a guy, I got four kids. This would be a drag. I remember the first time I took our third youngest, or is that our third oldest, whatever, he's the youngest boy, to Disneyland. And he was like five. And I took him down to Disneyland and I said, now Chris, he wanted to go to Disneyland and he wanted to go with me. He wanted to have some one-on-one guy time, right? Well, I was nervous because the first thing that I was thinking, if I lose this kid, Maria is going to take a barbecue fork and it'll just be a slow roast. You'll just see me twisting very gently a light saute out there over the old pit that she would dig with a spoon. She would go out, dig a barbecue pit with a spoon and start the fire herself a la Castaway. And as I cooked, she'd sip a martini if I lost one of her kids. So I knew that I didn't want to do that. And there we are in the middle of Disneyland, and there's kids everywhere, and there's parents everywhere, and it's hot. I remember it was a hot June day. It was hotter than heck, sun beating down on the pavement. And the thing about Disneyland is there's all kinds of sounds as well as sights. And if you put the heat, the sound, and the sights together, you might as well have dropped acid. Seriously. You're looking at, and and, you know, Mickey, hi, boys and girls, and ooh, ooh, and, blah, 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 and then you hear music somewhere else, and I mean, you might as well have taken, like, 10 peyote buttons and put them into a nice milkshake and just guzzled it. Okay, I'm ready. So it's very disorienting, and on top of that, a little boy who is going to run everywhere and anywhere, and man, he said, I'm hungry. I says, okay, look, Chris, I got to use the bathroom. No, wait a minute. What did I say to him? I don't know why, but we had to be separated for a minute. I know what it was. I was getting food, and suddenly he needed to go to the bathroom. And I was like, you know, three deep in the line. So I made a judgment call. You can hang me by the thumbs if you want to. But I made the big judgment call that a lot of parents make. I said, okay, okay, there's the men's restroom. Go over there. And when you come out, don't try to find me. Just stand at the door. Just stay at the door because I don't even want you trying to find me here in this line because I may change my position in the line, right? So he went off. And guess what? I get the food. I go over there. He ain't there. I go inside. He ain't there. And I see myself cooking slowly over a roasted, you know, a roasting spit. I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be cool. This is cool. Just because you can't find him doesn't mean he's been abducted by Charles Manson. Don't go there, Phil. Don't make that leap. I put the food down. I'm going, okay. I'm looking around. And again, it's very disorienting because you're seeing the clown train and a thing going here. And every little kid you think is him. Thinking, where? Okay, this is, I'm fine. This is gonna. I said, don't leave the thing. And I turn around, and he's over at this place where they're pushing buttons to make noises. It's a door in this Toontown area at Disneyland. And the kids can go over there and push buttons and pull cords. And I said, dude, I told you don't split. And I wouldn't have, except they said that this, you could, it was open now. So I came over. I was going to come back. Whatever. What am I going to argue with a five-year-old, you know? I said, man, when I tell you to stay somewhere, stay so you can lose a kid easy. Easy. And when I was a smug single guy, I used to look at my friends who had kids and say, how can you ever lose track of your child? Well, I just think that's wrong. What did I know? The only thing I ever had to keep track of were my shoes. And you know what? Which was always there every morning when I got up. That's the only thing I ever needed to keep track of. Now you're going to need to keep track of a kid. That's the hardest thing in the world to keep track of. Serious. And Maria's got four of them. And you can say, don't go down there because there is a lion and he'll eat you and you'll die. Okay, can we go down there later? No, don't go down there. There's a lion, he'll eat you, you'll die. You're going to lose a kid. Sucks. But anyway, here's what I wanted to say. The little Elizabeth Smart case. One of the reasons why I don't like the Jawjack news stories is because I always find that there's a better way of doing it. That's why on my show, I invent different characters who voice opinions, and then people call in who think that character is real. I will pretend I'm somebody that I'm not, and they'll call in and they'll think that person's real. If you don't know what I'm talking about, give our show 2 weeks. You'll understand totally. Just give our show 2 weeks. If you're a new listener, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. But in the case of the missing girl, Elizabeth Smart, I could sit here and tell you, hey, there's a new twist in this case. Apparently, the police found a screen that was cut from the inside, and that leads them to believe that there may be an inside job being done here, that possibly the abductor was either a member of her extended family or someone who knew the family. Police are drawing that conclusion because they found a screen cut from the inside, an area where apparently the person who was alleged to have taken her entered the home. So that maybe she was either abducted by somebody in the extended family or, on top of that, she might have been abducted by an individual with help from somebody from the extended family. Or I could sit there and talk about this all day long, but the better way I found to do it might be to have Bobby Dooley come on. And Bobby Dooley could say what I'm really thinking about this case, and that is that this is another soap opera in the news. And I would have Bobby come on and say, as a matter of fact, I'm going to do this tomorrow. Listen to the show tomorrow. I'm going to have Bobby come on, and she's going to say, well, we've just been following this Elizabeth Smart case in the news, and it is just fascinating. And our local TV station didn't have any coverage. And, you know, like she wants to sue the local TV station, and she just thinks it's fascinating. She never says that she thinks it's sad. She never thinks that she thinks it's tragic. She thinks it's fascinating. Because really, on top of everything, I think that most people in America find this case more fascinating than they find it sad. And that doesn't mean that you're bad. That just means that you find it more fascinating than you find it sad. That means that you don't have any kids that are missing, maybe. Or you don't feel for these parents, or you're not married, or you don't have kids. I don't know. So tomorrow, Bobby is going to come on and do this story the way I would really like to do this story. And she'll represent average America as it follows the case of Elizabeth Smart, rather detached, seemingly interested, but ultimately uninvolved, but really fascinated by the drama and the potential disaster involved. Does that mean that I'm cynical about my fellow Americans? Oh, well, I guess I am. But I love you. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I think that that's what's going on with this case, with Chandra Levy, with any of these cases. Until it hits home, it just is it's a big television show that people want to follow, and the various principals, like who is this Brett Michael Edmonds, and who is the father, and who's the police chief, and you know, it's a storyline. And I'm not commenting one way or the other about it. I'll just have Bobby come on and talk about how she thinks it's really cool, and you know, she's going to make herself an egg salad sandwich and sit down and follow the rest of it as it comes out tomorrow. How about that Westerfield case where they're tearing that mother apart? They're making that woman sound like she's the second, she's Hugh Hefner, like the white trash version of Hugh Hefner. They're making her sound like she's in and out of everybody's bed. What's that got to do with a kid missing? You want to know why they're doing that? You want to know why they're focusing on that? Because it's what the people want to hear. So the next time I take phone calls from people when they talk about how concerned they are with the safety of children or the safety of this child, Elizabeth Smart, or the other little kid in San Diego, I have to kind of blend that in with my knowledge of people. And my knowledge of people tells me something very different, that ultimately this is a story and not really a personal experience. It's just another distraction, man. It's just another piece of boredom killing. But you know what? After 9/11, I ought to just shut up. I ought to shut up and just get back to the good old-fashioned principle that everybody cares about kids, whether they do or not. All right, 1-800-449-8686. What did I just say? Forget it. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back. No kidding, man. If I lost one of Maria's kids, I would be run over with a Jeep. She'd go out and rent a Jeep. She'd go out and rent one of those cars, those trucks with the big front bumpers, and tie me to a wall somewhere and just boom, 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 boom. You know, women and their kids, there's nothing like the bond between a woman and her kids. Guys are never going to be that. Men are never going to be allowed in. The women will always keep us out a little bit. Just a little bit. Not a lot, but just enough. We're always going to be sort of secondary there in that list. And don't make any mistake about this. If you all were in a lifeboat, and it was you and the kids and your wife, and there was one crust of bread left, she would feed all of the kids before you. You know that. Of course, then you'd want your kids fed, too. But then if there was another crust of bread left, she'd eat it herself, and you would starve to death. Because she knows she'd have to stay alive for the kids. It's not selfish. Doesn't mean she hates you. It's just the way nature intended it. Like one time, I forget what happened in the house here recently, but one of the kids got into trouble, and I had to get him out. And I forget what it was. Something simple. Oh, I know. Maria was in London. And this was when the eldest took a pair of scissors and stuck it into a wall socket and created sparks. And so I ripped into him six ways to sunset, man. And I mean, I just told him he was an idiot. And because I could see him electrocuting himself and just standing there just, you know, just, you know, he's like still vibrating with his finger in a wall socket. Just, and one of the kids going, what's wrong? Well, he's stuck in the wall socket. Well, pull him out. Well, I'm not sure how to do that. And then the next kid, then I got a row of four kids all stuck to each other. Well, you know what at that point I would do? I'd grab on because I knew I'd be dead if she came home and found them dead. So I might as well, okay, here we go. So she gets home, and I said to her, and I'm telling you, I don't care what she said, I know I'm right. I said, honey, if I would have let one of these kids, if anything happened to the kids when you were gone, you would never forgive me. You would walk in, and all you would see would be the cat laying there, furry, fuzzy, and full of cat chow, and then five of us all connected, dead. You'd never forgive me. Oh, now that's not fair. No, it may not be fair, but that's the truth. No, I would recognize that accidents happen. Oh, come on. Come on. Did you ever read the story about the guy down south? This guy takes his kid in a car seat. He puts the car seat on the roof of his car. He forgets the car seat and his kid are on top of the car, and he takes off. And the car seat goes bouncing down the road. Magically, mystically, and miraculously, the kid was fine. The kid was okay. But Charlie, he was in the middle of a busy day, and he just said, oh, geez, I got to put the car seat up here, and the kid's in it. Now I'll put the groceries in. Okay, climbs the door. And he takes off, and he looks in the rearview mirror, and he sees a bouncing kid, and it happens to be his. He pulls over, he gets out, he runs back, the kid's fine, nothing wrong with a kid. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If you're a mother, if you're the wife of that guy, would you ever trust him again with your kid? Would you ever trust that guy again with your kid? I know the answer. No, you wouldn't. You'd love him, and you'd stay with him for the rest of your life together, but you'd never again let him be alone with the kids doing anything. I know, I have friends. I got a very dear friend. He left his kid in a car seat. The kid went bouncing down the street. And, well, his wife divorced him. But then he wound up with custody of the kid, so I guess that's not the right example. Well, maybe there's a, well, I'll think of one. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Here's Adam. Hello, Adam.
Yeah, it's Aram.
Or Aram, I'm sorry.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Good.
I love the show. I love the backstage pass.
Thanks.
No problem. Hey, you brought up earlier about Bobby Dooley and how she's gonna say tomorrow, and I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
But you said you're also cynical. I can prove to you, quite frankly, that I'm even more cynical than you are, because I'm going to say that the police don't even give a damn.
The cops don't care whether they find this girl?
I can give you two examples of what I mean.
Okay.
Okay, first example. Okay, up in Flagstaff, Arizona, there was an officer that was killed in the line of duty. They had an arrest and formally charged within 4 days. They still don't know who killed Chandra Levy. They still don't know who kidnapped and killed John Walsh's kid. Second point, in Oklahoma, after the bridge collapsed, there was a three-year-old child that died in the bridge collapse, and I don't remember her name, and it was a short little blob. It was in the Daily Oklahoman in Oklahoma City. 2 days after that, because I was there and I read the paper, I'm an over-the-road truck driver, they had a picture on the front page in color where you see police officers standing at attention in their Class A's, pallbearers bringing out a casket with a flag on top of it. Underneath it says, the caption said, remembering one of their own, and the caption underneath, I can't remember it verbatim, but it basically said, police officers in Oklahoma City remembering one of their fellow officers who died in the tragedy at
the Weber Falls. Yeah.
On the way to Arkansas for a family reunion.
Right.
They didn't do that for the three-year-old that was killed.
Yeah,
they
you know what?
They don't care.
I got a theory about that. It's not that they don't care. I think that they do. They're professional. And I got a theory about it. I think that cops pay attention more closely to the deaths of their own.
So they serve and protect their own. They don't care about us.
No, I don't think that that's true. But I do think they care a little bit more about themselves and the brotherhood that they have, because the theory is, if you start killing cops, or if there's open season on them, then things are just shot. And so they have a real They got a real brotherhood, and they have a real code when it comes to protecting each other.
Hey, man, I didn't buy any of that NYPD stuff after the September 11th. I wanted a hat that said Remember 3000. But you got NYPD hats, NYPD shirts. You know, I personally didn't care. I wanted Americans died. I don't care what job they have. I don't care what occupation they have. In my eyes, a child's life and a cop's life are the same, just as much as yours, just as much as mine. The only reason they haven't found
Fire department guys that rushed in.
Same thing. They're all people. They're all Americans. Just to signify that this person is more important than that person because of the job they have does not make it right.
Do you think somebody who is rescuing someone becomes more of a interesting personality to people than the person being rescued?
Not in my eyes, because we're all people, Phil.
You're just a stinking communist is what
actually,
you are.
Actually, no, I'm more of a cynic than you.
You're a dang socialist commie fag. No, I'm kidding.
My wife would appreciate
it. Your wife would appreciate it. I think that I think that people, you know, we have a sense. I got to tell you something right now. You're not going to like this.
Go ahead.
I like that cops look out for themselves.
Okay.
I like it because I believe that cops need to be ultra protective of each other, because if it does become open season on cops, if people decide that they just want to start picking cops off, that's real bad, because they do, for all of their faults, for all of their criminality, and for all of the, you know, the ups and the downs of the police down through the years, they do, represent a line of defense for us, and they have to be, they have to have a strength, that cannot be broken. And so I kind of appreciate it when coppers are, when one of them falls, that they look for the cop killer, perhaps a little bit more readily than they might other people. I actually like that. I don't know what that says about me. Maybe I'm...
Say that when one of your children dies. If one of something happens to your children, God forbid.
Yeah, but I'm a radio personality, so they would you'd take it more seriously, and they would try to find him. So, all right, Aram, thanks, pal.
No problem.
See you later. Bye. 1-800-449-8686. Truly, because of my place as a public personality, if something happened in the sphere of my life, they would probably pay more attention to it, because it would become more newsworthy. Do you think? That's why I got a really good table tonight over at the restaurant. Oh, you mean I didn't? Oh, I'm sorry, Peter.
Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You think when a celebrity croaks, or maybe a member of a celebrity's family, or if there is some danger surrounding a celebrity or a well-known person's family, do you think that the police give them more attention than they would a average American? Because I don't know the answer to that. I was just sitting here arguing with my good friend Peter Trippi, who I'm going to be buying dinner for tonight, so imagine him giving me crap like that. But anyway, but I'm taking him to a really bad Italian restaurant, so I'm going to be getting back at him. And by the way, I called up and I said, yeah, I'm Phil Hendry. I'm with Premier Radio Networks. I'd like a table. Yeah, whatever. They put me on hold for 10 minutes. They never heard of me. Do you think that they do that? Now, the cynical people would say, of course they do. Look at John F. Kennedy Jr. When that plane went down, they had tons of ships and they had flotillas. They had PT boats. Everything went out. They had his old man's PT boat go out there. The one that was busted in half, they put it back together and set it out there. And I said, no, I don't think so. I think that if your plane went down, if you knew how to fly, Peter, and your plane went down, which if you flew, it probably would go down. So I think that they would exercise the same amount of initiative and resolution to find you. He said, prove it. I said, I can't. I guess I can't. I don't know. I want to believe that it's true. I believe that cops do, if one of their own falls, I believe that cops do look for the killer with more earnestness than they might the killer of an average citizen. But I believe, and it's a sick thing to think, but I believe that it's necessary to a degree. Because if there's open season on cops, it's over. It's all over. Everything that you ever thought you wanted to do or have, forget it. You ain't going to have it. So I think there's something to that. But I don't think that we need to go and find John F. Kennedy Jr. any faster than we do a regular person. Or is it that we go and look for John F. Kennedy Jr. because that's an opportunity for the Coast Guard and for the rescue, the search and rescue people to show what they're able to do? You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't think it's true. This little Elizabeth Smart, she's missing. She comes from a wealthy family, it would appear. I don't know. The home is worth $1.2 million. But what about that little girl in Florida that was missing? She was not rich. She was that little girl that was taken by the supposed welfare workers. They can't find her. She wasn't rich. That was a topic of interest for a while. But it's kind of faded, hasn't it? And was she a topic of interest because she was a small African-American child, and they generally are the ones that get lost in the shuffle faster than others, and so it became human interest. You see what I'm saying? Why should I even be asking myself these questions? They're driving me nuts. All right, here is John on the Phil Hendry Show. John?
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Fine, how are you?
Good. Short-time listener, first-time caller.
Yes, sir.
Hey, just want to propose maybe a possible another scenario for Elizabeth Smart. I'm no expert by a long stretch, and this is a pretty weak theory, but she was 14, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if she's 14, is it maybe, maybe they've looked at it, maybe they haven't. Is it possible that she ran away and she staged this herself?
Well, they just said that on the news today, that's a possibility they're looking at.
Really?
They said that they're looking at the possibility that she, and I'm not saying that this happened, but they say it's a possibility, and this was a view expressed on Fox News today by one of the commentators.
Wow.
Quoting a police source, and there's a million possibilities, okay? That's just one.
Yeah.
That it's possible she, with the help of a family member, staged this.
Or with a boyfriend, or with somebody older than her, somebody that could have come in the house and had a gun to protect themselves.
But why would
her parents?
All right, so the younger daughter actually did see a guy with a gun?
I'm saying that's probably possible, because if I was an older boyfriend and I was worried about running off with my younger girlfriend who's 14, and I was going into her house at night to get her, I might, if I had a gun. It's possible that somebody might do that.
Did you do this? Because you've got a lot of ideas. All right, thanks. And anyway, that's what they said. But you know, cops have to think of everything. They've got to think of every possibility, every different kind of angle. Who knows? I mean, but remember, Chandra Levy was missing. They thought that she had left. They thought that she felt jilted by what's his face, and she'd come back, and maybe she got picked up in a van. And well, as it turns out, it was probably what the cops suspected originally, that she had gone into Rock Creek Park and met some kind of foul play there, because she was a favorite place of hers. She loved to go in there, and it's a dangerous spot. There'd been a couple of women attacked in there. In fact, there had been some interns, women who worked as interns in the federal government, but more importantly, lived in that area, who'd gone missing or who had been turned up murdered in the last couple of years. That's what they were suspecting within the first 3 months. But no, we couldn't let it go, could we? We had to sit here and say she was abducted by freaking aliens. Here's Vince in Clearwater. Hello, Vince.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Fine.
I agree with you on that. If just a regular person's kid was kidnapped, I don't think I'd be on the CNN news.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true.
And yeah, the other thing I wanted to say, I can totally relate with your wife barbecuing you if you lose your kid.
Okay, cool.
And when I was flipping channels, that MTV show, Jackass,
right?
As a prank, they took their guy in like a Ford Explorer in like a Home Depot parking lot, and they had a dummy baby in the carrier, and he would put it on the roof and be driving out of the parking lot.
Yeah.
And people would be running after the car screaming.
Now you know where they got the idea. All right, man, thanks. I didn't say that I don't think the cops would search for somebody who wasn't known. I don't know the answer. I think it'd be better if they didn't. I think they should only search for celebrities and let the rest of us just sink into oblivion. Don't you think a law should be passed that the Coast Guard will now only look for celebrities whose planes crash, and the rest of us have to just sort of sit and wait, hugging a buoy somewhere? We're just a clang, clang. Just hanging on there, man, while I go look for John Kennedy or whoever else went down. Somebody's cigarette boat exploded. you know, Gloria Estefan's boat exploded off the beach out there. They got to go look. They got to find Gloria, man, before they go looking for your dead ass, Henry. So just hang tight, bud. It'll be all right. 1-800-449-8686. Raquel, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, my God, Phil. You are the best. You don't know how happy I am to talk to you.
Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I've been listening to you since you were down here in Miami.
Is this Gloria Estefan?
Yeah.
You having
hey,
a couple
close
of cocktails?
To it. I'm a Cuban.
You having a couple of cocktails tonight?
No.
Come
no.
on.
Not at all. All right. I wish, actually. I need a couple.
All right.
But I just wanted to let you know that I'm a little pissed off because you were on every night here at 7 o'clock. And all of a sudden, with the station you were on every night, something happened. Everything just freaked out, and then they put you on this other one. But when there's a basketball game, you're not on.
Well, basketball season's over.
Huh?
Basketball season is over.
Thank God.
And for the Heat, it's been over for like 6 months.
Well, yeah, it's different, but they put everything else, even if it's not the Heat.
I don't know what
to
tell
you. We don't even know that game, that team even still exists.
The Heat?
Yeah.
Yeah, they suck.
No, they do. I'm sorry, I live here. But, hey, I've been such a loyal fan of yours for years. I'm just going to kiss your butt.
Thanks.
Seriously, you're the greatest.
Well, you're very nice to say, and thanks for letting me know that I'm not always on the air down there. The Miami Heat are, because that really topped off my night.
No, I'm serious.
No, it's okay. Thank you very much. 1-800-449. No, she's fine. She's right too. They, you know, we get preempted for sports occasionally. We'll take what we can get. We're not picky. We'll take what we can get wherever we're on. We're very, very happy and very loyal and faithful and glad and all that other baloney. Here is Steve on the Phil Henry Show. Steve?
Yes, sir.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Good.
I was going to call in and make a comment on that. It's been about three calls ago. The guy who was commenting on cops and I guess how they watch out for themselves only.
Right.
It's not like that. It's more like we're a big family.
Uh-huh.
We go out every day. We get paid next to nothing. Put our lives on the line for, you know, all of you guys, which, you know, I'm not saying that we're complaining about it. You know, that's why we do it. We enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
We love protecting you guys, and we don't see nothing wrong with that. But when another cop goes down, it's just like losing your brother or your sister.
Right.
That's why we react on it. So.
Well, I understand. I kind of explained that to him, but he wasn't buying it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? He's
Sir?
Just some. He was some Jewish guy from Colorado. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
All right, Steve.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You sure he was a cop? How did you screen that call? I want to know. I'm going in there right now, Chris. I don't know. See, the way to screen a cop is, A, you ask him where he is a cop, and you ask, I got to ask some specific questions. What kind of service revolver does he have? Has he shot anybody lately? You know, what kind of jack does he carry in the trunk? You know, I don't know, just things. He just didn't sound cop-like to me. He sounded a little, he sounded like a cop. Can he run like Pepper Anderson there? How does he run in high heels, as a matter of fact? All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, last night Fred Rogan was talking with Shaquille O'Neal and with Kobe Bryant, and he said to Shaquille O'Neal and to Kobe Bryant, he said, "Right now, Shaquille and Kobe, police are firing rubber bullets at some of the fans outside the Staples Center. Can you make a comment to them?" And I'm thinking, the people are outside jumping around, they're not watching TV. Who's he talking to? He's talking to some people sitting in our living room. There's a guy that...
Yeah, that's right. You tell them, Kobe, they'll be watching.
Watching where? They're outside already. What? I don't get it. Please make a statement and tell these people... And so Kobe, to his credit, and Shaq, to his credit, said, hey, chill it, cool out, they use some brother talk. No, they didn't. They talked like white people. And anyway, I'm kidding. They just said normal things. And they said, please don't do that. And Shaq said something very nice. He said, don't hurt yourselves, and please don't hurt any of my police officer friends. And it was all very eloquent, but meanwhile, the people that he was talking to were rocking a Channel 4 van. They weren't even watching it. They were rocking the very van owned by the company that Fred Rogan was broadcasting on. I forget who's on top of that thing. Was it Chuck Henry or one of those guys? Chuck Henry said he could see him like, okay, I'm going to have to leave now because the he's going like back and forth. There was something about that that I found, I don't know, entertaining. Please make a statement. They're out on the street. Who are you making a statement to? Would have been better if you'd done it on the radio. Maybe a couple of them got their Walkman on while they're, you know, while they're throwing water balloons or whatever they were doing. Whatever kind of criminal behavior they were involved in. All right, so I mentioned that, you know, the further saga of my family continues, and that involves a car being impounded because somebody was going too fast. Some young person. So the car got impounded, and on the keychain is a house key. So I said to my wife, well, what are we going to do? So she calls up the cops, and the cop says to her, we'll call up the place where the car is being impounded. We'll call ahead, and we'll tell them to release the key to you, the house key to you. She said, okay, that's fine. I said, well, I'll go over there and do it on my way to work. She said, great. So I go over there yesterday. People that have a subcontract or some connection to an official police agency, they sometimes get a little puffed up with the notion that maybe they're police too. Not that they think that they could go out and arrest anybody, but they see themselves as a legitimate legal enforcement arm. It's kind of like the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Not that they're affiliated at all with the police, but I don't know, like, for instance, a security guard hired by a football stadium because the police have got their, you know, the police got their hands full directing traffic. Suddenly the guy thinks he's Wyatt Earp. Now, I don't mean to demean any of the fine security people that work out there, but they're not Wyatt Earp, and they don't have any right to do like one did to me down at Jack Murphy Stadium when I walked through the wrong gate. They grabbed me by the arm. I said, don't grab me by the arm. You're not a cop. You don't grab me by the arm. Well, you're going through the wrong gate, sir. Well, I guess I'm going through the wrong gate. I guess you'll have to go get a cop to arrest me, because you're a security guy, you're not a cop, and you don't put your hands on me. Now, was I being rough? Was I being gruff? Was I being macho? Was I being violent? Yes. All of those things. But I feel I was within my rights. You know, look, man, just because you got to deal with the cops. So I go to this impound yard, and they got the big thing of glass. And they've got a woman sitting behind the counter, and the minute I looked at her, I knew what I was dealing with. I knew that I was dealing with an extension of the police. And the police, A, don't care. They've heard it all, and all they know is the bottom line. They know what the law is, they know what they're going to charge you with, and if you give them any lip at all, then you're really getting deeper into the stuff than you need to. You don't give a cop crap, and you just don't do it. It's not going to help you at all. It just isn't going to help you at all. You ever try giving a cop crap when you're getting a ticket? What's that going to do? Hey, man, I wasn't going, you guys, oh, okay, well, great. Then I think I'll make you wait another 30 minutes while I go and sharpen my pencil. Thank you. Have a nice day, schmuck. What are you, stupid? Anyway, I go into this thing. Hi, I was told to, and she's looking at me with the chewing gum and the big eyes. Like she's looking at a tramp. Like, in other words, just the Black Plague just walked in. Just, I came in covered with flies, and she's looking like, kind of with a moderate look of disgust. Hi, the police said I could come and I could pick up the, she's looking like a, no, it wasn't a black woman, it was a white woman. It was the kind of the white version of Nell Carter. And, I said, hi, I need to get my key, name. Yeah, my name is, Phil Henry. See your driver's license. Here's my driver's license. Right. She hands it over to Charlie. Now, Charlie's got to make 16 phone calls to find out whether it's cool to give the key to me, right? Nobody's saying nothing to me. She's just staring over at Charlie. And I got to say to her, excuse me, is there a problem? Excuse me, is there a problem? Excuse me, is there a problem? You know, the third time she looks up, well, he's calling as if I look like I know. Anyway, make a long story short, 16 different phone calls this guy makes. He comes back over to the window and he says to me, and I quote directly, car's been impounded. I can't let nothing give to you. All right. You can't let nothing give to me, huh? That's right. That's correct. I not give nothing to you. Car's been impounded. Well, officer, you know, whatever his name was, he said for me to call. Right, right. Well, I don't know nothing about that. They always like to say that for, I don't know anything about that, but, you know, see, I don't know nothing about that. All I know is I can't give nothing to you. Or something like, I can't not give nothing to you. Some, you know. So I called my wife up and screamed at her. That was the end of this story. I did. I called her up. I said, you sent me all the way over here? Just when I was feeling better about the kid, too. You know, I think he's going to lose that car for another month. The hassle. What a hassle. And, man, if you ever want to know who you really are, just get popped for something. Be put in jail for just a night. Just have to deal with the bureaucracy of the police. You are John Doe with a capital D. You are nobody, man. They don't care. You can sit and cool your jets out there as long as they feel like it, because guess what? They're just going to take their sweet time, man. I got a good mind just to leave the stupid car there forever. They can have it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.